And it's interesting how the Afrikaans Bible and the numbering is different from the English one. And but in Job 38, 39, chapter 40, it is the struggling between God and Job and about existence and God's existence and why certain things happen in the world and we don't understand it. And it happens in our lives and we become sad and we don't understand things. And they've got this struggle, the two of them, God and Job. And I want to quote just a few verses from that chapters. And God asked, so God is speaking to Job and he said, who provides the food for the birds, for the raven? And then he says, do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Well, he actually said, do you know how long lasts the pregnancy time of a goat, wild goat? Do you know that? Who established that? That is what God asked him. And then he asked in verse 5 in chapter 39, he says, who let the wild donkey free? He says, and the wild ox, the Afrikaans, as the translation is a buffalo. And how do you get a buffalo? How will the wild ox, the buffalo, consent to serve you? How do you get a buffalo to tame it and to work for you? So you hear the God's arguments. He asked about the clapping of the wings of an ostrich. Do you know how that happens? Who created that? And then he says, and verse 19, do you give the horse its strength or clothe its neck with flowing mane? Who did that? I ask you. Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Who did that? And then at the end of this argument and God presenting nature to Job, Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. And with this realization of who God really is, he says, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. You are God. Your works are marvelous. We cannot explain it. And therefore, I greet you in the name of God, the Creator. Created the smallest of insects and flowers and the horses and the wild ox and the wild donkey and the powerful waters. That reminds us of the powerful redemption of Jesus Christ. And it's all possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. May this God give you peace. Amen. Let's sing about this awesome God. How great thou art. We're going to sing two verses. Verse 1 and 4 of hymn 9. Let's stand and sing together. Right, there is our scripture reading this morning, just one of the verses that we're going to explore. And but before we do so, so you'll find it in Proverbs 6, verse 6. And I will read a few others as well. I will read something, but we will come back to that later. Just go, get to Proverbs 6, verse 6. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful message to the church. And yeah, even to those people not belonging to the church. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you this morning because you are great, you are wonderful, you are just magnificent. And it's all because of who you are, your identity, your character. Is being seen in this world when we look at the birds, the ants, the animals, the people, the valleys, the mountains, the grasses, the plants. You are God the Creator. You control everything. You made it. You established the boundaries, the time when the sun is being set, and everything is just in place because you are God and we honor you. And not just that, because you are the one that saved us from our deepest, darkest sin that prevent us from seeing your wonderful work and who you really are. And therefore, we praise you this morning. We adore you for your works and what you do. And we've got your word, and your word is like water, mighty water that flows. Yes, indeed, we see it everywhere in Scripture. But it's like a fountain in our hearts, in our midst, with this water of the living one. And this morning we pray that you will bless us in our meeting, in our fellowship. And please let us learn and guide us so that these examples out of your word will help us to live better, to focus better, and to add value around us in a better way. Please bless us when we are together like this. In your name we pray. Amen. So, before we read this text, I want to say something again about the value of any metaphor or any image or that God uses in Scripture. Anyone. It can be your life is as short as grass. It can be like the mist, the morning early mist and whatever, and at 11 o'clock it's gone, something like that. But I think that when God uses any metaphor in the Bible, we need to listen very, very carefully what it is saying. And God is using a lot of insects and a lot of animals in the Bible to explain and to express something of His will, His purpose, and His goals for us as people. For example, you find this the other day. I've used it in a different context. And the ladies, they were ladies, you know, female ladies. They were there, and they didn't like what I've said. But in Amos 4 verse 1, it says, "Hear this word, hear this word, cows of Bashan." Bashan was a region in Israel where all these rich ladies lived, and God calls them cows. Well, we are not allowed to do that. I mean, you've got this ministry of gender now, you know, gender fragile gender things. I know, so we are not supposed to call women like that. But God says, "You are so full of yourself. You are so arrogant. You women who oppress the poor and crush the needy cows." That is what he says. But you need to listen very carefully how we explain it. Have you seen a fat cow walking? What matters? It's beautiful, isn't it? But he says and then there's something about people in isolation, people struggling with depression. He will see something like Psalm 102 that he says, "I've become like a bird." In Afrikaans, he says, a pelican on a roof in a desert. Can you get this picture of that pelican somewhere on a roof? So it's when God says something about these animals, we need to listen. He says in Matthew 10, I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. And you can explain, you can go into every single animal and the explanation thereof. And it is something that we should listen to. And it's been a long time when I last read the 10 plagues. What happened with the 10 plagues? What was so destructive? Animals. Insects. I mean, there was that point that a can of doom didn't help at all. Then God took over. There was the frogs and the gnats and the flies and the locusts. Uncontrollable. So that people can hear God is busy working. God is busy saying something. And when it happens, you need to listen. Even the leaders of the world, like the Pharaoh and the king of Egypt. When God sends insects, you need to listen. And we spent some time in our youth group this week about birds. And the metaphors about birds, how it symbols something about God's provision, about judgment, about hope. Do you remember that story of the dove in Noah's ark, for example? This is what God does, the provision of God. In Matthew 26, God says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? In 1 Kings 17, God sends the ravens to bring some food for Elijah. And the miracle about it is Elijah, I mean, if you think about ravens, there's no way that they will bring food to anyone. They will eat it themselves. But that is the miracle. They brought the food to Elijah. So this is it. That is how God is busy saying something about nature. And then we find this chapter in the Bible and this metaphor about this beautiful little ants. And there are quite a variation of ants around us and termites and so on. But there are certain principles that we can listen to. But there's one verse, and you can, if you want to mark it, and in Jeremiah 8, verse 7, it says, even the stork in the sky shows her appointed seasons, and the dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration. It's all set in place. But listen to this. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. So God says, in terms of nature, everything is in place. The birds understand something that human beings don't understand, it seems. God sets the boundaries. He set His word, His commandments, and my people, I've got a problem with them. Jeremiah 8, you can go and read that chapter. It's a wonderful, very, very wonderful chapter. But then He says, so animals understand something that we need to understand. So in Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 8, He says, go to the ant. And some of the translations, I think Afrikaans says, you're lazy one. You are lazy. You're lazy one. Sluggard, it says. Sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. There's another verse in Proverbs 30, verse 24-25, that says, he speaks about four creatures. But one of them are the ants. Again, he says, four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. And then he goes on with the other animals as well. So, last week we said something about, I showed you that picture of that anthill lifting that stone and rock. But go to the ant. Ooh, you, sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. I want to say something about ants. Why am I going to say anything about ants? Because God says, go to the ants and observe. That is what it is. Go and observe. Okay, so let's go and observe. So what researchers does is they found something about ants. And scientifically look at what is going on and what happens in the nests and when they are busy with their food sources. And in 1989, the John Louis Tinoberg, that's his name, of the Unit of Behavioral Ecology at the University of Brussels, they discovered a few things about ants. And they said intelligence of individual ants, but simply by the community, the colony, there are so much power and so much energy and wisdom in the group. It's very interesting how they saw something about ant colony optimization. So what is going on there in that process? Why can they operate without a leader? So what they call it a pheromone, and a pheromone is a chemical substance that is produced by the ants, and it explains their behavior. So what they do is, when they walk, they secrete this specific chemical, and the others just follow that line. And that is why they stick in these lines without any plan, without any goal, without any leader. They've got this knowledge, and they can go the shortest way to their anthill or their house or their whatever place they stay. They've got this wisdom. God says, go and listen. Go and look at them. Observe. So what can we observe? It says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15 to 17, he says, for we have an aroma as Christians. Of what? Of salvation. He says, we've got this fragrance. Okay. Okay, there's something about the ants and us that we can share. There's Marco Dorigo. They are doing research on ants. The Artificial Intelligence Research Laboratory in the University of Brussels. And what they've done was they invented efficient algorithms for computer programs using ants. So what they've done was, and I need to read it, they said, that have now developed into a subfield of computer science called ant colony optimization. They call it AOL. Based on the learning from insect societies, has since been applied to solve many real-life problems, including traveling salesman's problems, adaptive routing in communication networks, distributing algorithms for data clustering, dynamic source sharing, graph coloring, machine scheduling, vehicle routing, sequence learning, and machine learning. Where did they get that? Ants. God says, go and learn from them. So even in science, they are busy observing what God says and try to explore what ants are doing. So there is a reason why God uses certain animals in the Bible, so we need to listen. But the problem is we are probably too lazy to go and observe. That is why we are called sluggards. There's in Israel, Ofer Feinemann from the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel. There's an article wrote, ants' collective intelligence exceeds that of humans. And it's interesting what they've done. They gave ants a task to maneuver an obstacle through a difficult course. And then they did the same thing with humans. And the ants won. Individually, humans are better. But as a group, ants are always better. So God says, go and listen. Go and observe what is going on here. They call the tendency, what they see with the ants, they call it emergent intelligence. It means that as a group, there are always more emergent sort of intelligence coming through. As a group. What is the Bible telling us over and over again? As a group, as a congregation, as God's people, there's a colony of wisdom and something is going on here. Emergent intelligence is a memory that a group of ants had, but the individual ant does not have it. So as a group, they just fare better. So emergent intelligence refers to the phenomenon where complex intelligent behavior arises and the group does just better. They are optimizing themselves. In 1 Corinthians 12, we know that Paul says, the body is in unit, and though it is made up of many parts, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you as a part of it. So as a whole body, we just do better. But in Hebrew, when he says, go to the end, it's not just go to the end. It says, go and look at the end. The end. Observe the end. Analyzes what it is does every single day. It's the same sort. It's the same word that God uses when he watch over creation. After the creation, he said, and God sees it, and it was good. That sees is not just, oh, okay, well, I see I've done something. It sees is an observation of the quality of what was happening. That he saw his works, observed it. So it's the same word. It's an intense watching over what is happening. When Eve, it says, and Eve went to the tree of life, and she sees the tree. It doesn't mean she said, hey, Adam, look at this thing. It is a tree. That is not what she saw. She saw the life. She saw the essence of going to eat or not. She saw life. And the choices of life, that is what observe means. It's not just a tree. It's not just an ant. It's not just a bird or a dove. It is, what is the meaning of it? What is it? What value does it add in my life? So what it is that we as an emergent colony, congregation, says we need to see and watch better. We need to see what is going on. We need to observe all the trends in life. What is happening in marriages, in our families, at work, without work, suffering, sadness, dilemmas. We need to observe. And as a group, we will see better as an individual. And we will explore better. And that is what it is. There are certain behavioral patterns that we see with ants. And we also need some behavioral patterns, like being here today. It is not a bad rhythm to have. It's a good thing, because here we can hear collectively what is God's calling. Otherwise, we can just have a little voice note to every single house and cell phone and say, hey, listen, observe the ants. But when you observe the ants, you will come here and listen, something collectively is going to happen here. It's part of our behavioral patterns. The Message translates this by saying, you lazy fool, look at the ants. You lazy fool. The problem is that sometimes you are so lazy, you become a fool by not going and observe what God is telling us to do. And so this is what is happening here. We can go further. So what can we as a church group, what can we learn? What does parenthood look like? What does a congregation's leadership look like? She's a Dr. Flo Falai. She's from the Forbes Coaching Council, and she uses this model. using the acronym of ANTS and saying what we need to do is to anticipate, think ahead, anticipate. We see something about it in the Bible, at Noah's story, about Joseph's story. Anticipate. Jesus reminds his disciples, I am going to die. Something is going to happen. I am going to leave you. Anticipate what is going to happen. God is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Anticipate it. Navigation. How do we navigate ourselves through this world, and having a sense of direction, saying, listen, but we've got God's Word. We've got God's Holy Spirit. We've got one another. How do we guide our families and our leadership? And tireless. I mean, that is what they did. Do the work. Make the use of every single moment. Make the best of your time. And in Romans 12, it says something, the word zeal. And we need to work hard. Pray constantly. Be awake. Be vigilant. What's that word? Be awake. See what's going to happen. And our social life, it's so important. It's how we interact, how we engage to one another, how we engage to the church. God says, I want to use an example of an ant. Go and observe. Otherwise, you will end up as a lazy fool. There's something more that we can say. Someone said, if you look at discipleship, we don't just assume certain things. We prepare for the worst. Oh, come on, we are believers. We just take it day by day. No. Jesus says, go and calculate the cost. If you build a house, not on sand, but on the rock. And so you can go on. Go and calculate the cost. That is the cost of discipleship. I mean, that is what they said in Luke 14. Maximize your time. You know what we do. Where is time going? We are busy with our cell phones and watching TV and all our other no sense things that we are busy with. Time is limited. Jesus is coming. How do we spend our time? Prepare for the future. I mean, that is what God did when he sent Joseph, with that horrible story, and his brothers sell him, and he went to Egypt. God was preparing for something else, a bigger story that is coming, so that he can save them from Egypt. So God is busy preparing. He says, I am going away to prepare a house or a stay for you in heaven. God is busy preparing. Jesus is preparing. So what we need to do is to utilize our society here, our network here. We need one another, like the ants. You don't have to, but otherwise, then you might be a sluggard, because that is what sluggards do. I don't need you. I don't need the church. I don't need the community. I'm going to buy some property on an island, just for myself, me and I. Well, enjoy. But you will find ants on that little property of you. And they will tell you, you need someone else. Observe. Let's observe what it is being said about the ants. And apply what we need to do. A wonderful thing that ants do is, they call it, and I've got the word there, diapause. Here's that word, diapause. It's an interesting thing. What they say ants does is, and we need to learn from them, is the moment when there is trouble. Let's say, for example, COVID-19 or whatever happens in the world. What is the ants doing? They gather in a group. They are going in a diapause. It's on the levels, deepest levels of the identity that they just go into a survival mode to survive. In my little yard, once the I don't know what you call it, roimira. You know that fast biting little things? So they thought, this is a very nice environment to stay. And I didn't want to kill them, but I made it very difficult for them because of our grandchildren. and they are really bitey little things. And I said, listen, you are not going. We had a meeting. And I said, do you see this doom? You are doomed if you are not going to leave. And I just made them a little skrik, you know. And they moved. But it's interesting, their behavior. There's a pattern. You can go and see what they do. They all collect. There's actually also a chemical smell, fragrance that comes from them. And they stick to one another. And as a little group, they just leave. They go away. It's amazing what they do. The moment that they are terrified and when they are panicking, dire pause. And it's in the deeper level, deepest levels of their existence that they just paused and survived that bad circumstances. The colony are just colonizing more than ever before. That is what we can learn from. You don't have to learn from it, but Jesus, God says, observe. But you don't have to. So what they does is they are always in competition and cooperation. And it's wonderful what they do. They are in competition and cooperation. But still they need one another and still they survive. There's another thing that they do. They call it eusociality. Eu, it comes from Greek. Greek is a good society. It's a good social structure. It's always, and what happens is, there are three things about eusociality. It says, they will look after one another's children, little ones. They care for the whole system. They are always, overlapping generations. The old ones, the young ones, doesn't matter. They don't say, listen, okay, guys, we sent all the old ants and then the senior ants and then the junior ants. Ants are ants. And at the end, they all do the work. And the third one is, they are dividing the work for the best effort to do so. Well, we don't have to listen. But the Bible says, observe. Learn from them. Otherwise, you end up being a sluggard. Let me tell you this one. That old Umi, David Attenborough. David Attenborough. They've done some research and they found the following. So when there is an anthill, and it rains, why isn't the seeds that they gather Germans becomes Germans? No, what German? What's that word? You know what it is. Why not? Because ants cut all the seeds in half, so they don't germinate. Okay, germinate. And then I found out. But it's a strange one. Coriander seed. If you cut it in half, it still germinate. So what does the ants do? They cut it four times. How do they know that? God says, go and observe and learn. Go and observe and learn from this little tiny teachers, and the wisdom they have. I've got this picture that says of an anthill, and if you call it just lessons for Christian families and Christians as well, but it's just saying that we can explore it more, but just quickly, discipline without supervision. I don't know how it happens, but just as soon as I researched about the stuff, I found that the CEO of Bayer, the aspirin company. So he stopped the whole system of supervisors in his company. It's like 90,000 people working for Bayer's, and you know Bayer's, and you know what? So they try to get rid of checking over one shoulder all the time. So what we need to understand about animals and these people, this little ants, is it's discipline without supervision. How do we treat our children? I've overheard this conversation with people with children in school. So there's no supervision at home. So they installed all these cameras to see if the children are doing the homework and studying. So where is that point? And at work, everywhere in this world are cameras. We are being watched over all the time. As a Christian, no one needs to watch over you. You don't need a supervisor. No one needs to tell you to stop at the stop and to stop at the red light or to watch your language or whatever it is. You are not doing things because someone is seeing you. You're doing it because of your principles and because who you are in Christ. And it's the same with the foresight and preparation. It is not just, yeah, my little money and my month-end money, and I try to save for the bad days or whatever it is. The whole thing about foresight as a congregation as well. What are the principles in spirituality in terms of the values of God's word that we install in the congregation so that we can see, but you know what? There are bad times coming. Our children are ignoring God's word or the values of the scripture or whatever it is. We need to prepare for that. Life is difficult. People are struggling spiritually, emotionally. We need to prepare for ourselves. And then the third one is a community over my ego. It's not about me. It's not about me. It is about this community, the colony that we need, and the wisdom in weakness. We struggle. We need people to help us with wisdom. And the last one is the rhythms of work and rest. We need to understand the rhythms of life. We need to understand the Sabbath, the Sunday. Be silent, be still. The ways of God. And we learn it from these little animals. So when we are building an anthill for our congregation, what is important is every single little road that they make in that anthill is with a purpose. Every little small sand that they are moving is with a purpose. So every prayer, every thought, every caring, every boundary, every act of love, every story that we share of God's grace and God's goodness, every grain of sand that we move are important. And if it's not important, it's because you are English speaking, so what is it? Then you import it so that it can become important. That is, I think, what important means. You import it because it is end. Import end. Take it with you. And that is what we reread, and let me end off and say. There's something very interesting. It is not that, because the main translation is to say, go to the end, lazy one. You lazy, the lazy. You remember at school, that is what the teachers always read in the mornings. Go to the end, you lazy one. But there's something more. It is something more to do with ignorance. Sluggard. You are even too lazy to go and look at the ant. That's the point. So what happens is, if you listen to Proverbs 6, it says, people become... So what happens is the first one is spiritually dull. Second one is blind for the wisdoms of creation. And what, there's a wonderful thing. You need to go and read chapter 22 of Proverbs. And then he says, this person fabricates excuses. He said, I think the example that they're using, maybe there is a lion outdoors. Maybe. They don't know if it is there, but just maybe there is. So let's stay inside. And you can go, he says, so they are so restless, but they are inactive. And then in chapter 26 of Proverbs, he says, these people are like a door in a bed, just turning on the hinges of like a door. That's all they do the whole day. He says in chapter 19, they are too lazy to feed themselves. Self-indulgent, that is what they are. They are self-important, chapter 26. They overestimate their wisdom and think they are the ones that knows everything. So it is very clear what the sluggard really is. It means that they contradict their lives with God's design and God's purpose. But and you need to learn that from the ants. Keep watch over my work, God says in Genesis. You are responsible for it. You are the gatekeepers or keepers of this. They resist God's call. They are a spiritual danger for all of us. And so what is answer? Let's go and be very careful. Not just go and watch the ants. But what about our stewardship as a father, as a mother, as a parent, as a leader at work or as a whatever it is? Our mission as a church, our work ethics, how we apply God's word into this world, how we apply the laws of this country, how are we going to apply it? I think if we take this really seriously, life will change in 1 week around us. But because of the sluggards, it will not change. But at least when we hear this, let's apply it. Let's go and learn from the ants. Well, and all the other animals. But for this morning, that is our main focus. Let's go and do and make a difference like ants. Let's pray. Father God, you give us this example of this little tiny, small animals, insects, to guide us and to show us about life. And you reckon, and you make it very clear, that this is important. This is how life should be. This is something about the rhythm of life, about the expectations. And therefore we pray, Father, that something of what we have heard today will be a part of our lives and make it a different environment that we are living in. So that it will create a new colony of your children. And therefore, please open our minds, our eyes, our souls, so that we can hear your words just better and to fulfill the purpose every single day. We pray for this energy, because you say when you call us, you give us the energy. You give us the power to do whatever you ask us to do. We pray for your help, we pray for your guidance, and we pray, Father, please bless us as a community. Let us listen to one another, the pain, the happiness, the sad stories, but we need one another, and we need you. Please bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's offer, do an offering. Thank you. God, what a wonderful miracle that someone still has the ability to give something back. We know we are living in intense economical difficult times, and still there is an offering for you. And this is why we are here. It is part of our honor and glory that we want to give you, is what we can give back. Because you are the provider. You are the one that feed the birds, and obviously for us as well. And we pray that we will be the stewards of this money in the best way we can, to serve our ministries, your kingdom, to the best ways possible. Help us, Father, to do your will with what we have received. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Bruce. Let's end off with a praise, worship hymn, that hymn 20. And we are going to sing verse 1 and verse 4. Let's sing it together. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.